Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Friday, January 15th edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. It's already halfway through January. Unbelievable how fast time goes.
Think of that, yeah.
And, you know, we were talking earlier upstairs at dinner how the winter was so mild this year, especially in the first half. You know, usually where we live, we start getting snow in early November, and it stays on the ground until, you know, February, end of February, March, and how half of our winter had been cut short, and it's almost over. If you look at it,
that's interesting. It is. So where do we stand right now, and what are the news items that are most important? You know, of dire importance. People are fixated today on the elections of 2016.
Well, there's one issue with that about the debates last night. Rand Paul
was
blacklisted or kept from the debate.
Right.
And basically a media blackout, which was a big deal and cause for concern, seeing as the polling showing he's running second in Iowa, the first primary state. And we saw what happened to his father in presidential elections, the last two before this upcoming one. And I think that's something we need to follow. Also, Planned Parenthood is suing the group that released the videos that showed...
Right, the Center for Medical Progress.
Right.
They
filed a racketeering lawsuit against the anti-abortion activist David Dieladin and his Center for Medical Progress group on Thursday, calling the group a complex criminal enterprise conceived and executed by anti-abortion extremists.
You see, anti-abortion extremists. And we, now this
you
is...
You call that pro-life advocate.
Well, right. And, you know, more... This is more the... And we have to be careful of the words we use and the words that are being used. We have to be watchful of that. Folks, before we get in deep into this, because this we need to talk about this. We need to talk about the Oregon situation. We need to talk about other issues as well. But before we do, folks, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, they're our partners in this radio endeavor. You know, we talked about fear porn and stuff. It's prudent to prepare. Prudent to prepare. I'm popping my peas here, even despite the windscreen. It's prudent to prepare. You need to prepare for the worst. Pray for the best. Prepare for the worst. It's only wise to have food set aside for you and your family. Any survival gear set aside that you may or may not need. You know, it's better to .com. They're having their first annual scratched and dented sale. It's a first-come, first-served situation, limited quantities. You could just select from the drop-down box. And if you're watching live on YouTube, Eric the Tech doing a great job showing exactly how to do it. And I'll tell you something. All of the cans are checked quality control-wise by the staff at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And they're checked for the integrity, and the contents are fine. And if you don't mind a little, you know, nick here or a scratch there or dent there, the product is still good. And look, I buy scratched and dent merchandise. They're offering a bonus gift too, worth at least $10 with purchase of 6 cans. 2 gifts with the purchase of 12 cans. So, I mean, it's a great deal, folks. Right there, you can see it on the screen. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. It's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And you know, it's a veteran-owned, Christian-owned company. You know you're dealing with the best. You know you're dealing with people of integrity. And I love the owners. They always have been very, very helpful to all of our listeners. And we love our listeners. We care about our listeners. So, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. This is not just any company. This is a great company. All right. So take advantage of that. Prepare. Take advantage of that. It's a good deal. We certainly are. Now, this abortion issue right now, the Planned Parenthood, which is a criminal cabal by itself in my view, okay? I have to qualify things when I say this. In my view, Planned Parenthood is a criminal enterprise in and of itself. They have been shown to be trafficking in body parts, human body parts, which is obscene. Now, one might argue with the word trafficking. One might debate, say, well, that's not really entirely true. But at the end of the day, what are they doing? Roughly 4,000 lives were exterminated today. Today alone. And the day before that, and the day before that. At the hands of these so-called doctors of Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood, having been exposed by a series of videos. And you know, isn't it interesting, folks? Where's our memories from this? We were outraged. Remember that? Video 1 came out. Dr. Nicotola. Video 2. Video 3. Lamborghini Gat, or whatever. Remember that? Oh, horrible. Horrible videos. Everyone was outraged. It was the talk of the around the water cooler. What is it now? It's relegated to nothing but a memory, a far distant memory. Except for a few people. Coach Dave Dobemeyer, Past Assault Ministries. That guy is a machine, man. I'm telling you, he's America's coach. PTSalt.com. I mean, have you been watching his videos? I mean, he's out there on the front lines in front of these charnel houses, these murder mills, and attempting to make a difference, and is making a difference, and others as well. Many people, but see, we forget now. Planned Parenthood just come out and said, Center for Medical Progress, we are going to file suit against you. And why? What is under the RICO Act, under the Racketeering Act?
The Racketeering lawsuit, yeah.
Right.
In July, the Center for Medical Progress were releasing edited videos of conversations with Planned Parenthood doctors, secretly recorded by anti-abortion activists posing as medical tissue firm officials. Now, this is from the article, and I'll state that they did release edited videos, but at the same time, they released the whole beginning-to-end unedited videos for those who wanted to watch them, showing that the parts that were edited took nothing out of context, were not edited for the sake of making it look like somebody was saying or doing something that they didn't normally or didn't actually happen during the conversation, which was the claim that Planned Parenthood and the media backers of Planned Parenthood tried to make when they say that, you know, they were edited and taken out of context on purpose to make the Planned Parenthood look bad, when in fact each video was released in its whole entirety at the same time the edited videos were released. Now, the media focused on the edited videos.
But see, that defense, Joe, is as old as the hills. How many times have you and I walked and testified in a court of law, in a courtroom, with a videotape in hand or a DVD, and the judge says, can you give me basically an edited video? Of course, we'll enter the entire thing into the record, but just go ahead and give us the actionable content, basically. Or the attorney,
right?
More appropriately, the attorney.
We had to show edited video, but provide the whole video to, you know, also to the other side.
I mean, it's a matter of expedience.
Yeah, and this is interesting, and I like what the head of the or CEO of Center for Medical Progress stated. He says, "Game on." I look forward to taking the depositions of all Planned Parenthood CEOs who profited off the business relationship with Stem Express. Planned Parenthood issued a statement, and they said that the aim of the enterprise, which was stretched over years and involved fake companies, fake identifications, and large-scale illegal tapping, was to demonize Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood provides high-quality, compassionate care and has done nothing wrong, Kathleen Neer, president of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California, said in a briefing lawsuit. Yeah, they are compassionate and do nothing wrong. And as I said, the Center for Medical Progress CEO, says game on. And it goes on to explain that the racketeering lawsuits typically ask for triple damages, and that the lawsuit asks for payments for Planned Parenthood's increased security costs, penalties for violation of confidentiality agreements. Three people died in a shooting at a Colorado clinic in November, and Planned Parenthood cited death threats as a result of the video. In addition to the Center for Medical Progress's CEO, Planned Parenthood named prominent anti-abortion activist Troy Newman of the anti-abortion group Operation Rescue in the suit, as well as some other Center for Medical Progress activists whose names were previously undisclosed by the group. And they list, if you go on BuzzFeed.com, they have the actual 65-page lawsuit in whole on that site. You can read.
Oh, the
but see, yeah. To claim that the people who exposed the truth of the evil behind Planned Parenthood is being attacked by Planned Parenthood for being a racketeering agency that is a group or a criminal enterprise conceived and executed by anti-abortion extremists. I mean, as a people, could we not turn around and sue Planned Parenthood for, you know, their death practices? And not only that, the actual, because abortion is now legal, so I guess you really couldn't sue them for that. But how about the harvesting and selling of baby parts, which is illegal under federal statutes, even today?
Exactly. Well, go ahead and provide more information about that, Joe. I think because once you know the what I would call the this is taking place everywhere. Or in different venues, the effect or the attempt to take people, entities, groups, whistleblowers down through litigation, to tie them up in litigation.
Right.
This is a matter right now. This is one of the tools in the arsenal of the very people that were the Luciferian elite.
Well, this goes on to say, in July, the Center for Medical Progress began releasing edited videos of conversations with Planned Parenthood doctors secretly recorded by anti-abortion activists posing as medical tissue firm officials. The videos claimed they exposed illegal sales of fetal tissues by Planned Parenthood to a tissue bank called Stem Express, as well as illegal abortion procedures. Now, in here, they say the videos claimed, but the videos proved without a shadow of a doubt that the Planned Parenthood company was involved in the illegal sale of fetal tissues and, furthermore, baby body parts, as well as other illegal abortion procedures, or murder, as it is termed under U.S. code of law, because there is, as disgusting as it is, and as horrible as it is, and we've talked about it and had Greg Jackson and Coach Dave Dobmeier on to talk about this and many others.
Folks, I would urge
Benjamin
everyone.
Baruch, I mean,
I would urge everyone to support Coach Dave Dobmeier. You know, because he is on the front lines of this. When you read or when you cite litigation like this, You've got to give it to and support Coach Dave Dobmeier. I'll just say that. Because what is the leading cause of death in America? It's not what the AMA says it is.
Well, abortion.
Abortion.
If that is actually a cause of death, because in the screwed up United States law, which has been starting as a representative republic, using the Constitution and Bill of Rights as their base of the law, it has now been turned into a circus. The criminal justice system is a joke,
right?
And
especially when it comes to issue matters like this, because we don't have one sheriff, one law enforcement officer, one law enforcement officer, or one person in charge of their state police, to go in and arrest. You know,
listen to this quote.
Go ahead.
This is a comment from the. This is after the article is over. There's a comment section, and a Brianna Santiagello from the College of New Jersey was the first to comment, and this was her response. Good. Those videos are directly related to the increased attacks on Planned Parenthood and the deaths that resulted from them. These people only care about their hateful worldview where women have no rights to their bodies or medical decisions. Shut them down and make their leaders bankrupt. It's the least those lost lives are worth. I mean, if that doesn't just state the mindset of
uninformed. But see, again, that speaks to the programming, both the mental programming, and we can't drive this point home enough because we are being programmed every day. But you know, to bring this relevant to the political landscape today, how many of the Republican or conservative, I'll just say so-called conservative candidates have stood up and said, this is wrong. I will immediately shut down all of these killing mills. None. And even, I mean, to show you how perverse politics is, how many, I mean, I've got a friend who has on her wall a picture of Newt Gingrich with her, with his arm around her shoulder, you know, posing. And she said, oh, you know, he's a great conservative. And of course we spoke about what really being a conservative is and a Christian conservative. But look at it this way. To tell you how perverse this is, the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, who I just mentioned, said that it would be a tactical mistake, for example, if a resolution not to fund Planned Parenthood was not carried. What kind of a leader is this when what's at stake, condoning or opposing a child being murdered or mass murder of children, could be described in terms of tactics? You know, the major problem with conservatives, Christian conservatives, and others, aside from short memories and attention spans, is that with just a few exceptions, there's no true leadership in the argument, women's rights. That's a specious argument. What about the rights of the unborn?
Well, the unborn do not have rights under U.S. law because they are not considered people.
So then, if I would go out and shoot a woman through the abdomen, a pregnant woman through the abdomen, and kill her,
and
the baby,
that's double murder.
Right. So wait a second.
No.
I didn't get the memo on this.
No, you didn't. Okay. And it's as convoluted as it sounds, and I can't even begin to try to explain it in an articulate way.
Let me explain it this way. The two greatest threats to the stability of our nation are rights guaranteed by the Bill of Rights are abortion and gun control, and both of them are in play in 2016. That wayward criminal tyrannical Supreme Court, those terrorist in black robe justices who voted for abortion, acted well outside the pale of the Constitution when they said that the Fourth Amendment right to privacy, that the right could be interpreted as rights of women, of a woman, for example, to abort her, to kill her unborn child. You've got to be kidding me. You really do. The free love doctrine. See, this is why we talk to about the counterculture, the free love doctrine. Have you studied, folks, the free love doctrine of Madame Calante? She lived from 1872 to 1952. The Bolshevik commissar who toured the United States in the 1920s, preaching the doctrine of sex without responsibility, and of course, free love. That free love being a drug permeating every corner of our nation. It's now gotten an entire generation of women convinced, and even guys and metrosexuals out there, in this mentally drugged, mind-controlled, induced state where women are murdering their own unborn infants at a rate that's staggering, 4,000 a day. This is an unholy state of affairs. It's unconscionable, and it must be stopped, even if it means we have to fight another American revolution to put an end to the savagery. It does. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There's absolutely no connection between the Fourth Amendment, folks, and the right to privacy and abortion rights. I know we're off on a tangent here, but you're not going to hear this talked about in the circles of the conservative politicians and running for the highest office in the land, and you're not going to hear it discussed in the cliques of the states. And no. You know, the bottom line, this is murder. No court in the land, not even the Supreme Court, has the power to sanction murder in this capacity. Abortion is a prohibition. It could never be the law of the land. And abortion, in any case, would be a matter for, if you're talking about law and constitution, at that point, at that level, then it would be a matter for the states under the 10th Amendment, under the police powers to regulate the health, welfare, and police protection of the people. That's really plain and simple. So don't even give me that. So, yeah, it's news, but it's unreported news. Apparently it takes a backseat. It's news that the Center for Medical Progress is being sued by Planned Parenthood and this travesty. And this just goes to show you that anyone can file a lawsuit for anything. This is a civil suit.
And they do.
And they do. And what's it for? It's an offensive weapon. It's a terrorist tactic by Planned Parenthood. And those who don't see it. No one's talking about it.
Interesting little fun fact about Planned Parenthood. Their policy actually changed after these videos were released to the point where they stopped doing business with the stem cell company in some states, or if not all of them, which was an admission of guilt perceived by many. But, you know, they continue on. Back to what we talked about and mentioned in the beginning of the show.
Yes.
FBI agents weren't posing as militia, as ex-fire chief clarifies. There's been a number of stories, some speculation about allegations of undercover FBI agents caught posing as militia members in southeastern Oregon. They say the story was made up and there was no such claim, but there was police chiefs and people who quit their jobs who were in positions of...
The fire chief there in that county quit his job. There's a video on YouTube going around out there. It's of a news conference. I think it's 11 minutes and some odd seconds of the fire chief of that county getting up and saying, look, I submitted my resignation to his superior. Apparently, I'm not sure of the makeup out there in terms of the government, but he submitted his resignation, citing the fact that he was threatened, his life was threatened. He was basically 63 years old. He was called an old man. He should keep his nose out of the stuff.
And there's new information coming out about this where they're saying that this whole story was made up and no such claim was accurate. But listen to this. They say Chris Briles, who recently resigned his position as Harney County Fire Chief, says Nevada Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore, whose Wednesday press release sparked concern about a throwback to FBI infiltration and dirty tricks against activists, must have been misunderstood by him. Flory's release said the fire chief had determined men posing as militia were the FBI. Well, he tells U.S. News he did indeed catch undercover FBI agents in a small town of Burns near where the armed protesters were occupying a federal wildlife refuges, but they were not posing as militia. They were posing as... or they weren't posing as anything other than dishonest people, he says. They were perceived as militia by the locals, but they weren't
and
posing
perception
out
is
there
reality.
With a shirt that said, I am militia.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. And this is the SOP right. Now, this is not an indictment of the entire, the good FBI agents, and there's certainly good law enforcement officers and agents. But, this whole story stinks to high heaven, and especially the so-called retractions. Oh, that's not what he said. That's not what he meant.
FBI agents don't just stand around in camo gear and, posing as militia members with guns out in the woods where actual militia men are trying to, you know, defend or whatever they're doing out there. They, you know, you don't just see that in any regular state, in any regular area. Just FBI men dressed as regular folks with guns in backwoods.
Right, right.
So what else could you conclude they were doing?
Well, and there it is. Okay, you've got, you've got, believe me, just look at the reality of the situation. It doesn't take, it doesn't take anyone of any special knowledge or detective ability to know that when you have a situation created, and the situation is this, these at least two. Now, I'm going to give you kind of a summation of the account. At least two individuals who were later determined to be FBI agents were found in an area near an armory, engaged in some suspicious behavior, and this raised the awareness of certain people involved in the Oregon situation. Now, and of course, it caused enough consternation with a couple of the people in support of those in Oregon to say, for these people to say, wait a minute, you know, are we being set up? The short answer is yes.
The long answer is yes.
Well, yes, yes, no matter how you look at it. So when we look at this situation, this is a war, a propaganda war of public opinion. This right now, what happens in Oregon, in a lot of people's minds, is going to determine the, again, the moral high ground of both sides, or all sides, as it might be. We cannot be, we should not, and we should always be aware, we should watch ourselves and avoid being gamed into a posture that would require us to engage in a fight. Look, the fight is coming to you. If you're listening to this broadcast, and you are a conservative Christian, Bible-believing American, or somebody in the West, if you're listening to this in the UK, it doesn't matter. If you're free and listening to this, no matter where you are geographically, the fight is coming to you. You don't have to go looking for any fight. It's coming. And it's coming in the form of gun control, ultimately gun confiscation. It's coming in the form of taking over your property through oppressive taxes, regulations, and other means. Is coming to you in the form of, well, outright blatant chaos, race riots, race wars. It's coming to you by the influx of the illegals, the mass invasion, whether you're in the Western countries of Western Europe, or in the UK, or in the United States, or Canada. It's coming to you by in that fashion. So we trust me, you don't have to go looking for a Lexington, you know, a line in the sand. The lines in the sand are being drawn, and this situation is extremely dangerous. Now, we support, believe me, we support the Patriots. We support the Patriots, who are intent upon standing firm for the Constitution. You know, some people say, well, America is under judgment and we should just give up on America. Well, okay, fine. You know, I do believe we can do two things at one time. Now, I might not be able to do two things at one time. For example, I can't. I'm horrible at talking and trying to read like a message board or something. I can't do that. But we can certainly pray for our country while understanding we are under judgment, and yet fight for the values that the Constitution and rights, our individual rights, of that are God-given rights as delineated by the Constitution. As well, I believe you should, and every person should. Right? I mean, we don't have to be, none of these issues are mutually exclusive. We can talk politics and be spiritually minded at the same time. We can talk about the current events while also understanding that the battle is spiritual, not just in the physical. That doesn't mean we have to totally immerse ourselves in nothing but the spiritual. Because we can do two things at a time. We can multitask. Does that mean that we won't do, or, you know, that we will do one better than another? Not necessarily. Because there are different types of tasks. So, just to bring it back to Oregon, I know there are people up there, and I've seen the video. I know who's up there. I know what they're doing. We know what they're doing. But at the end of the day, and we understand too, there's a fight taking place. But don't let other people draw you into the fight if it's the wrong time, the wrong place. Now, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
absolutely.
You've got to be smart about this because, again, we have to understand that we're all under some level of control, mind control, and the shaping of public opinion. It's a big business out there. So, just be careful with this. Just be careful and check your facts because the minute you see, like this story here, isn't it interesting? You have this perfect example of what we're talking about earlier. A video comes out, a fire chief for the county resigns, 63 years old, makes several statements during an 11-minute video, which was, I think, was published yesterday, or posted yesterday, or maybe this morning, I'm not sure, it's all a blur. And then you've got the people who are saying, wait a minute, that's not what happened. No, he's lying. This person's lying. But even more to the point, you've got a whole bunch of, or I shouldn't say a whole bunch, you've got some interesting people within that community of patriots who have infiltrated. And you see, that's how they get you. There was a sitcom, I can't remember who, it was a sitcom a few years ago. And the guy would always say that, well, that's how they get you, you know, with respect to, I don't know what the subject was, whether money or whatever, but that's how they get you. But in this case, that's how they get you. That's how they get you. They will infiltrate your circle of compatriots, your circle of people that you think you can trust. And they will take you down from the inside, because taking you down from the outside, like a Waco or Ruby Ridge, that's messy. And you know what? That's kind of a PR nightmare for the feds. So we have to be a little bit wiser, a little bit smarter than the average bear, and look at the situation and say, what can we do to help the agenda, to help the cause, to enlighten people about this, but also not fall into the trap and be made to appear like, you know, we're idiots, that we have no moral high ground, or worse, that we're criminals. You know, because a lot of times perception is reality, well, to most people. So that's unfortunate, because most people, you know, their attention and their perception is an inch deep and a mile wide. Their level of understanding, an inch deep and a mile wide. In about 5 minutes, you know, is about the level of their attention.
Yeah.
Getting so that they can't even, you know, they could barely watch a, 30-minute documentary or 30-minute anything. Sitcom, even. It's ADD Central.
Yes, it is.
So, but again, that is the consequence of decades and years and decades, I should say, of mind control, of MKUltra programming, of the Tavistock Institute of programming, which is incredible, incredibly effective. That's what it's all about. So, anyway, but it's important. We need to support, absolutely need to support the people, the patriots, but also understand that there are wolves in the midst.
Absolutely. We got about 20 minutes left of the top of the hour. I want to hit a few news stories while we have time left. First, this is from yesterday. Declassified emails reveal NATO killed Gaddafi to stop Libyan creation of gold-backed currency.
Yep.
In spite of French-led UN Security Council Resolution 1973 creating a no-fly zone over Libya with the express intent of protecting civilians, one of over 3,000 new Hillary Clinton email released by the State Department on New Year's Eve contained damning evidence of Western nations using NATO as a tool to topple Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The NATO overthrow was not for the protection of the people, but instead was to thwart Gaddafi's attempt to create a gold-backed African currency to compete with the Western central banking monopoly. The emails indicate the French-led NATO military initiative in Libya was also driven by a desire to gain access to a greater share of Libyan oil production and to undermine a long-term plan by Gaddafi to supplement France as the dominant power in the African region. The April 2011 email sent to the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton by unofficial advisor and longtime Clinton confidant Sidney Blumenthal with the subject line "France's client and Gaddafi's gold" reveals predatory Western intentions. Foreign Policy Journal reports the email identifies President Nicolas Sarkozy as leading the attack on Libya with five specific purposes in mind: to obtain Libyan oil, to ensure French influence in the region, increase Sarkozy's reputation domestically, assert French military power, and to prevent Gaddafi's influence in what is considered a France-phone Africa. Most astounding is the lengthy section dealing with the huge threat that Gaddafi's gold and silver reserves, estimated at 143 tons of gold and similar amounts in silver, posed to the French franc circulating as a prime African currency. The email makes clear that intelligence sources indicate the impetus behind the French attack on Libya was a calculated move to consolidate greater power, using NATO as a tool for imperialist conquest, not a humanitarian intervention as the public was falsely led to believe.
It was never that. It was always about... There were a number of reasons. And this, you know, folks, we had talked about Libya. We had talked about Libya in the context of the Arab Spring. We had talked about Libya in the context of funneling weapons and personnel to Syria as the forward operating base in Benghazi to topple Syria. But equally important is the fact that Libya had the highest standard of living of all African nations under Gaddafi. Yeah, Gaddafi was a bad guy. But, you know, Saeed, his son, was... By the way, where is he? And where is the gold? But that's what this article is referencing. But see, so... What Joe just said there, I mean, there were multiple reasons for the takedown of Gaddafi, as Kankles Clinton... that's not nice. Got a laugh out of Tech Eric there. As Clinton, you know, laughed and said, you know, we came, we saw he's dead or something to that effect. But how crass is that?
We saw he died.
Yeah, he died. I mean, really? So, you like that, huh, Eric? Kankles Clinton.
Well, Kankles Clinton is much better than, the behavior of the once Secretary of State criminal Hillary Clinton. Planning, you know, the deaths of allies of the U.S. or dictators implemented by U.S. and U.S. policy. The email, continuing and closing this article, the email provides a peek behind the curtain to reveal how foreign policy is often carried out in practice. While reported in the media that the Western-backed Libyan military intervention is necessary to save human lives, the real driving factor behind the intervention was shown to be the fact that Gaddafi planned to create a high degree of economic independence with a new pan-African currency, which would lessen French influence and power in the region. The evidence indicates that when French intelligence became aware of the Libyan initiative to create a currency to compete with the Western central banking system, the decision to subvert the plan through military means began, ultimately including the NATO alliance. Yeah, and they say that the gold at the time, according to knowledgeable individuals, this quantity of gold and silver is valued at more than $7 billion. And then another question is, where did that gold go?
Again, where? And Saeed Gaddafi's son, providing a lot of intelligence to the United States, in particular,
tortured.
Well, but the bottom line is, look, Gaddafi was a rabid dog off a chain. Reagan, bang, you know, bombed the tent, basically the tent city, in the tent that his daughter was living in, killing his daughter back in the 80s. And subsequent to 2001, Gaddafi saw the writing on the wall and said, okay, I'll cooperate with you. I'll give you all the intel. In fact, Gaddafi was providing valuable intelligence up to the year, the month that he was really sacrificed, sodomized, and killed. And this is not to prop up Gaddafi, but nonetheless, what kind of horrific animals do we have running our foreign policy? When a death of this nature is celebrated, seriously, I mean, just ask yourself that.
When Iran calls the U.S. the Great Satan, you know, a lot of people take that as oh my gosh, you know, listen to Iran and listen to their craziness. But when you look at the actions of our leaders and some of, and many of our citizens in this country, they're not far off.
You know, I mean, so that's interesting, because now those emails, right? Those are emails that were declassified
on the New Year's Eve email,
right?
Dump.
The dump, and that takes a while to go through because there was a lot of documents, and you'll notice as well, in addition to the those emails that were declassified, you'll notice too. Have you noticed this? If you're a frequent visitor to, for example, the Drudge Report, you'll see a lot of headlines. Of a lot of Nazi headlines, declassifications of Nazi activity. Have you been watching this? Some people think, well, gee, Doug, you just have an obsession with the Nazis. No. If I do, others do as well, but that laid the foundation for what we're seeing today. And I want to thank Bob and Maggie out there. Thank you so much for your kind emails. That's just an aside. And it's just, you know, between us. So thank you.
Moving right along here.
Wait a second. You know, if I can do this, well, let me toss something out here. We had talked about mind control and stuff. I'm going to throw this in here, and then you go ahead and go to that next story. Because what I want to do, folks, Paul McGuire, you interviewed Paul McGuire in my absence last week, right? I mean, and Paul McGuire talks about Aldous Huxley. And we had talked all week in segments about mind control and about, well, various things that had to do with the bigger picture that included the counterculture and mind control. I just want to throw this out here because look how relevant, because I'll get emails and people saying, well, where's the relevance in this? Look at all the news headlines, and you're talking about stuff that happened more than a half a century ago. Well, so what? Well, listen. Here's what I'm going to toss out at you. When Paul McGuire, and I heard that program finally today, but when Paul McGuire talks and has been on our program, he talks about Aldous Huxley. In fact, he writes about it in his book Mass Awakening and Prophecy of the Future of America and all of his books. And in 1954, Huxley published a study of consciousness expansion through mescaline. The Doors of Perception, it was called. It was the first manifesto of the psychedelic drug cult. How many remember The Doors? Of course you do. The Doors rock band borrowed their name from this psychedelic manifesto, which is The Doors of Perception. Now, Huxley borrowed the title from William Blake's poem, If the Doors of Perception Were Cleansed, All Things Would Appear Infinite. Now, I'm going somewhere with this that's going to connect directly to everything we're talking about tonight and talked about throughout the week. 4 years later, after it was 1958, Aldous Huxley assembled a number of essays that he had written for Newsday and published them collectively as Brave New World Revisited. Now, Paul talks about Brave New World, Brave New World Revisited. In that treatise, he described this society where the first aim of the rulers is, at all costs, to keep their subjects from making trouble. Okay? Did you catch that? The aim of the rulers is to keep people from making trouble. Now, he described a very likely future. Now, consider this. You talk about some insight into the future. The completely organized society, the abolition of free will by methodical conditioning, the servitude made acceptable by regular doses of chemically induced happiness. Now, he goes on. But anyway, you see, he predicted democracies. Representative Republic, America, United Kingdom, all the free countries of the world. He predicted that the free countries would ultimately change their nature. In particular, the U.S., quaint old forms, you know, such as elections and parliaments and Supreme Courts, oh, they're going to stay. They're going to remain. But the underlying substance will be non-violent totalitarianism. That's what Huxley said in 58. Democracy and freedom, well, that's going to be the theme of every mainstream broadcast of news and entertainment and every newspaper editorial and every magazine out there and every internet. Well, he didn't say internet, but every internet function. Democracy and freedom. You see. But not in a literal sense. Democracy and freedom, not in a literal sense. Meanwhile, the ruling oligarchy and its highly trained elite, their soldiers, their policemen, their thought manufacturers and mind manipulators will quietly run the show as they see fit. Now, I ask you, is that not what we're seeing today? You see, it is the conjunction, it's the connecting of the dots from our week, this week of shows and the previous shows with Paul McGuire, that the Aldous Huxley, the counterculture, the Timothy Leary, the Harvard University psychology department, the Tavistock Institute, the Russell Huxley Frankfurt School crowd, the brain drugs, the mass production of all of the psychotropic drugs produced in laboratories, the CIA's handling of all of this that we talked about, they bring and have brought mass changes in society. You know, and it's interesting because Timothy Leary had said it's going to happen regardless. It's going to happen, and but Leary also said something that I found interesting, and I copied this quote here. We had run up against the Judeo-Christian commitment to one God, one religion, one reality that has cursed Europe for centuries in America since our founding days. Drugs that open the mind to multiple realities inevitably lead to a polytheistic view of the universe. We sense that the time for a new humanist religion based on intelligence, good-natured pluralism, and scientific paganism has arrived. The reason I brought that up now? Well, this is exactly what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the after effects of the counterculture movement. We're seeing the after effects of the mind control programming. We're seeing the after effects of everything that was discussed play out right now. It had to be that way. But you're not going to hear, I'm sorry, you're not going to hear Rush Limbaugh. You're not going to hear Mark Levin. You're not going to hear the majority of the people in the mainstream talk show circuit talk about this. And you're not certainly not going to hear this from the you're not going to hear this very, very, except by very few people. But we have to understand that the roots of the fruit we have today, I mean, the fruit of today began with the roots of yesterday in this massive brainwashing, psychotropic, Nazi, occult, paganistic Luciferian, sinister game of American political witchcraft. So keep that in mind as we go through the additional news.
This is a very interesting article from Bloomberg Business. Employee wellness programs not so voluntary anymore. Take a blood test or lose your health coverage. This is an interesting story. Dale Arnold, who worked for Wisconsin plastics maker Flambeau, chose not to take his work-sponsored health assessment and biometric screening. The company responded by pulling his insurance coverage. Like many employees, Flambeau uses a wellness program to cut insurance costs by encouraging healthy employee habits. In the past, submitting on-site blood tests of blood pressure, body mass, and cholesterol meant saving a few hundred dollars. Now, companies such as Flambeau have gone a step further, denying health care entirely to those who do not participate. People like Arnold must instead pay more for expensive coverage through the government's COBRA program, according to several federal courts.
And that's just an expansion or an allowance. Mm-hmm. The COBRA is when you lose your insurance or drop your insurance, that you give you a period of time to change without penalty, and you know, so that's what that is. And you folks, you know what COBRA is.
According to several federal courts, including one that ruled in favor of Flambeau, this is all perfectly legal. In a case filed by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the U.S. government argued that Flambeau's wellness program didn't comply with the Americans with Disability Act, which limits companies from requiring medical exams on personal health information from workers. Denying employer-sponsored coverage costs crosses the line from voluntary to coercive, the EEOC contended. Not so, said federal judge in Madison, Wisconsin, who ruled on December 31st that employees can deny coverage without violating the ADA as long as the data gleaned from the wellness program is used for purposes of overall health coverage. And this sets a very dangerous precedent. In this case, screenings help Flambeau determine the risk of the insurance pool. The EEOC says it is reviewing the decision. A Samuel Bagenstein, a professor at the University of Michigan, claims the ruling turns voluntariness on its head. It would make it all but impossible to enforce a voluntary requirement for requests for medical information. In that sense, it's probably the wrong reading of the statute. Over the last few years, wellness programs have become a popular way for companies to try to curb rising health care costs. Employers spent a record $693 per employee on such initiatives last year, up from $430 the previous year, according to data from Fidelity Investments. Wellness programs, an umbrella term for an employer-supported initiative to improve and promote employee health, were one of the most popular benefits last year, with three-quarters of organizations surveyed by the Society for Human Resource Management offering some sort of program. Successes have been claimed. Companies that require health care surcharges for smokers, for example, say employees subsequently cut their tobacco use. A recent survey found, yet despite the popularity of the wellness programs among employees, the efficiency is unclear. Participation rates hovered at 24% in 2014, according to a Gallup research poll that concluded that when employees don't engage, the programs definitely don't work. Moreover, the programs tend to see results only over the long term. Researchers in a seven-year study at PepsiCo found that participation was associated with lower healthcare costs, but only after the third year. Now, we're at the top of the hour here. But yes, they say you're going to begin to see a real tension to basically of people to live healthier lives so that they can use their insurance less and lose less days at work. But the point here, when is the line crossed from voluntary compliance to enforcement or coercive, mandated, threatening, and in this case, removing the benefits such as health care as a refusal from a refusal to comply. Folks, we'll be right back with our third and final hour on the Hagman and Hagman Report this Friday, January 15, 2016, right after this.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.